Okay, hello everyone. This will be my final episode talking about what I'm called to do. I just keep learning more about myself. So I'm also called to help out with homeless shelters. So for example, I have to support shelter residents during some evenings, some overnights, and some weekend hours, which means I have to help provide safe, clean environments. I have to help support and assisting guests residing in shelter, and I would have to be documenting any safety / security concerns or rule violations. So I would have to be available in terms of availability requirements for weekends and overnight shifts every month. So I'm using partnershousing.org an example of what I have to do the rest of my life. I have to empower guests and provide support and crisis intervention through trauma-informed care. I have the ability to provide resource information or triage questions for individuals and families we serve, and to those who call shelters to apply/ask for information. I communicate necessary guest information to day staff and night staff and overnight staff to keep them informed. I follow and enforce shelter guidelines, policies, and procedures for shelter guests. I support and assist guests with their shelter needs as they arise. Example questions, concerns, hygiene supplies, cleaning supplies, bedding, food, and more. I have to maintain safety and security of shelter property, report concerns to shelter manager/ on call or to the authorities. I have to ensure the privacy and safety of other guests by not confirming identity of other guests and by not allowing anyone other than guest staff, caseworkers, or law enforcement on the premises. I have to maintain the cleanliness of shelter to performing housekeeping tasks outlined in staff task lists. Example, sweeping, mopping, disinfecting. I have to complete shelter room checks with shelter manager as requested. I have to complete shelter inventory and organizational/shelter upkeep duties as assigned. I have to perform basic maintenance as needed. Example, changing light bulbs, plunging toilets, and report any major maintenance issues to day staff. I have to document in shift notes at least one per shift and complete prior documentation, including but not limited to call logs, task lists, checkoff lists, incident reports, reasonable suspicion forms, and mandated reporter documentation/ reporting duties. I have the ability to assess and utilize the when I work website as an example for staff work schedules, and be able to pick up/ drop assigned work shifts as needed. I will have to complete shadowing tasks as assigned when new team members join the support staff team. I would have to attend regularly scheduled monthly meetings and trainings. I have to maintain positive, supportive, and respectful guest relations. I have to support their focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. This includes non-judgment of the ways that people may be different than me. I have to refrain from using slurs or other derogatory terms, gossiping, or coming to conclusions based on race, gender identity, sexual orientation, primary language, religion, physical, secularity, or mental ability, or other ways that people that we serve or employ may be different than me. I have the qualifications, so I have a high school diploma or equivalent. I have a bachelor's degree. I have strong organizational communication skills. I have the ability to establish and maintain professional boundaries when working with clients. I have the ability to thrive in a flexible, fast-paced, and growth-oriented environment while maintaining a positive, solution-oriented, and client-centered approach. I have the experience in crisis intervention and problem-solving with the ability to diffusing situations without heightening the conflict. As previously stated, I have the ability to work at least 1 week in numerous overnight shifts per month. I have the understanding or willingness to train in areas such as trauma-informed care, diversity, equity, and inclusion. I have the ability to maintain confidentiality of guests. I have strong interpersonal skills, ability to be compassionate and firm towards guests. I have the ability to accurately record information for required client and staff documentation while maintaining confidentiality and strong boundaries. I have the ability to navigate Microsoft Office products, specifically Outlook, email, Word, and Excel. I have reliable transportation to get me to my designated work site, wherever the homeless shelters are. I have the ability to lift 25 pounds independently. I have the ability to walk, climb, or descend stairs, kneel, bend, and twist. I have the ability to pass a criminal background check. So those are things I'll be doing at homeless shelters as an example. I've learned more about what I'm called to do. And it made me realize that, for me, I have to get CPR certified and renewals every 2 years, because some people may be in medical situations where they're hoping that I can provide the CPR. I recognize that when you're in the human rights world, my calling is the rarest calling ever. And what that means is that there are times where I have to provide constructive criticism, correction, there are times where I have to treat my home like a hotel. For the most part, I won't be able to be at home, because I'll be in high demand everywhere I go now. I won't be on call 24/7. Because that privilege of access to me is often can be abused and misused when it comes to being on call 24/7. Anybody on call 24/7, there's going to be some people that will underuse it and overuse it. And plus, I don't want to always have to cut things short when I'm hanging out with people because of emergencies. So I do have my downtime and self-care. However, when you're a person in high demand like me, often people will try to have you to live where they are. Some might be okay with you having your home as a hotel and where they are, and living with them as your primary residence, because in their mind, your days of having a hotel and motel lodging are numbered. They're like, no, wherever city you come, you stay in my home, you stay in my apartment, or you stay in my house. That's how most people will treat me. Because we're high demand, people like, I don't like you paying for your human needs, you know, food, water, shelter, clothing, you know. Plus, hotels, motels, they'll say their laundry is not good as our laundry. So there'll be people go, I got your laundry for you. They'll be like, okay, I got your food, your water, your shelter, and your clothing for you. Anything you need, I got it for you. Don't pay for anything. Then there's some people who feel like, but I just don't like the idea of you spending a lot of time alone, hang out with me. There's some people, honestly, they'll say, Antonio, anything you need, I'll give it to you. Even if you need sex, I can help secure sex for you. If you want to live the nightlife, I can help secure that for you. If you need some legal, healthy marijuana, I can secure that for you. If you need some tasty, safe alcohol, I'll secure that for you too. So you have people who will give you all those things everywhere you go. So I'll be spending more time in people's actual homes than hotels and motels. My main lodging will be in the homes of other people. Saying the same thing, but you get the point now. And then I thought about how the calling I have, I have to go to places that polite society frowns upon. So in the human rights world, I have to spread the human rights message within brothels, sex clubs, sex parties, gay and bisexual bathhouses, strip clubs, nightclubs as examples, because those environments will be like, well, do we feel included in the human rights message? Because a lot of times they make it feel like they're excluded. So I go to those places to help them understand that they are included, and more importantly, they belong, sense of belonging in the human rights world, and that they can help us with, humanitarianism, animal cruelty prevention, environmentalism. And we can help them within law and reason, comply with human rights regulations so they can continue to operate as businesses. And so often polite society may judge me harshly, but it's like, I'm not there just to be there. I have to go wherever the people are. I have to go to seedy environments so people can learn how to be and stay in the human rights movement, the environmentalism movement, the animal cruelty prevention movement, because there are people in those worlds who want to come aboard. And in the human rights world, since we're live and let live, do no harm principle people, we're not going to have them shut down. We're just saying, hey, as long as you do no harm and live and let live, you can keep operating as a business, do your own thing. And that's how it is. So I can't be in polite society environments all the time. That means that sometimes I have to go to rough neighborhoods. Sometimes I have to go to slums. Sometimes I have to go meet with slumlords. Sometimes I have to meet with landlords who are trying to sexually use their tenants to compensate that for rent. Like, okay, if you share your body with me, I could let you live here rent free, or I can give you rent discounts. So I have to confront landlords. I have to confront sex criminals. I have to confront violent criminals. I have to confront theft criminals. I have to confront financial criminals. I got to confront all kinds of criminals, lawfully, reasonably, with protection, and with law enforcement on our side, and trained professionals accompanying us. It's not easy confronting abusers, traumatized victimizers, oppressors, enslavers. Certain parts of my calling are just uneasy. And then when I look at this, right? When I think about what else I've been put on earth to do, I really that having a calling is a lot of work. Also, I have to be physically strong to do human rights work, because I can't be physically out of shape and try to help heal other folks. And I have to be spiritually in shape. I can't be spiritually out of shape and help heal other folks too. So in the human rights world I'm a part of, I have a lot of hanging out with people to do. Because everywhere you go when you're a person like myself, you spend a lot of time just being out and about, spending time with safe people. S-A-F-E. So I have to go to events and functions with people. And I have to have a social life with people too. It's like, for me, for example, I have to travel a lot with traveling with a lot of people, a lot of safe people, SAFE. Because there's certain people that will only come to certain events and functions if I go, especially constituents. I use these examples of what I'm talking about. I have to impart life lessons through meals that are shared. I have to invite friends, outcasts, and even enemies to know that the human rights movement, the environmentalism movement, and the animal cruelty prevention movement includes them. So I often have to use meals to engage with people and teach important lessons. And I continue to call people to me to feast on who I am and learn to feast on who and what the human rights movement, the environmentalism movement, the animal cruelty prevention movement are, and learn more about these movements by just simply listening to me. So, for example, I may have to dine with people that are considered unreachable according to polite society. I'm not saying collaborate with toxicity. I'm not saying unification with evil. What I'm saying is that there are people that have it in them to change for the better. I may have to dine with them as a way of helping them start the redemption process, the self-grace process, the self-mercy process, the self-forgiveness process, the self-correction process, the self-constructive criticism process, the self-growth process. So sometimes in the egalitarianism life that I live, I have to dine with people who are truly remorseful and regretful for their past misdeeds, and they are willing to 100% go through the entire process of being wholesome humans. I have to dine with people where topics of our day are to be discussed. So sometimes when I go to functions and events, sometimes unexpected and possibly unwanted people show up. You know, it's like, for example, and I was thinking about this very deeply just now, I'm not talking about people who want to stay ill repute disreputable people. I'm talking about people who are outcasted from society for foolish reasoning. So often I have to interrupt just to give them a sense of belonging. So the kind of calling I have, I will often be interrupted in my egalitarianism ministry from those who call out for help from the sidelines or touch me appropriately in a crowd. I won't be angry with any of them for having me make time for them. They're not messing with my agenda. Instead, I will have empathy and I will stop to meet their needs lawfully, reasonably, and appropriately. And sometimes my interactions with people will include the public listening to our discussions. Of course, there's confidentiality and privacy involved. I have to feed people physically and spiritually. So my meeting the basic physical needs of people will often reach them more than words and ultimately give them a kind of integrity that could lead to deeper internal inner beauty conversations. So I have to give drink to the thirsty as well and feed the hungry, but I gotta spiritually hydrate them, physically hydrate them. I have to well feed them spiritually and physically. I have to make time to enjoy the people I'm serving. I can't be so focused on the 4-5 course meals because the laughs and the meaningful moments that are most memorable, that's more important than what type of food, even though that does matter. And they'll enjoy getting together with me. And sometimes sitting and listening to me will be better than all the work that they're doing. Spending time with me is the most important thing, not the work, you know. I won't be too busy to spend time with people at all. Unexpected guests in my life are opportunities for me to demonstrate compassion to them. My heart is cleansed so I can receive all kinds of people in the name of wisdom. And we don't have to go by complex washing rituals to be integrous to people. I don't judge what I can't see. honestly, I'll handle hot topics and touchy subjects properly at the meal table. I will ask well thought out questions and engage people, and I will tell healthy stories to make complex subjects understandable. My words will be grounded in a solid understanding of wholesomeness and a deep desire to bring people into wholesomeness themselves. So my conversations will be encouraging and holistic. So I do consider my conversation, wash what matters, smell the roses, feeding the hungry, uninvited guests, dining with the enemy, those are important. I see meals as a way to serve others with spiritual needs and physical needs. I put my guests first over me, which means that they'll put me over themselves. And there'll be people I need to reach out to. I'll invite myself over. And people invite me over. And then and so overall, I've just learned that it's important that we treat each other as fully humane humans over mealtime. It's basically humaneness over dinner, as an example. And serving healthy comfort food of the heart, not just of the stomach. So those are the things I have to do. And lastly, I have to go to like hospitals, for example, and I have to make sure that I have to help out with information and wayfinding, wheelchair assistance, general task at units or clinics, music programs, accompanying lonely patients, I just have so much I have to do. That just popped into my head. I have so much to do bringing patients to medical clinics, chapel, recreation and programs, food and nutrition. I have to help with activities like arts and craft projects, bedside games, field trips, and bedside movies. Visit with patients, run errands, greet outpatients, guest visits, and patients' families, answer phones and transfer calls at the information desk. Help patients select menu items, open containers, cut food into bite-sized portions, and eat. During mealtimes, bring patients to medical clinics, chapel, recreation programs. I have to escort them, so that's patient care. So I have to offer assistance, type, file, answer phones, keep records, enter data, and call patients to remind them about appointments. Transportation, drive patients from their homes to medical centers. I mean, soon I'll, like I said, get a driver's license, auto insurance, and physical exam. Currently, canteen, work at retail store, cafeteria, washing dishes, wiping tables, filling condiments, cooking, and cleaning. After blood banks, alphabetize, paperwork, help with snacks. So it's administrative support to do transportation, office assistance, grounds crew, canteen, and blood banks. Patient care, escort, food and nutrition, front desk ambassadors, medical clinics, recreation. And I have to make donations. So I have to help out with flu shots, tuberculosis tests, CPR training, and free parking as examples. Basically, I have to be a hospital volunteer, just like I have to be a hospital chaplain, you know. It's that kind of work that I have to do, and I have to hold people's hands, and I have to talk about their medical opportunities with them, and I have to offer comfort in times of crisis, be a valuable resource for families coping with loved ones' illness. I have to be a listening ear and a shoulder to cry on. I have to be a friend in a time of need. I have to provide support for hospital staff. Sometimes I have to lead prayer groups and offer comfort to those who have lost a patient. I have to help create a sense of community in a chaotic setting, and I have to be an important link between patients and the medical staff. This is what I have to do. There's more. So I have to check daily schedule for assigned duties upon arrival each day, help keep the therapy area clean, orderly, and safe. Return equipment to proper place. Maintain open areas for wheelchair passage and ambulatory patients. Change and discard used linens properly after use. Stock linen cabinets. Maintain appropriate levels of linen. Perform clerical duties to include but not limited to photocopying, filing, refreshing form, replenishing forms or bins, collating, faxing, restocking office supplies, computer data entry. Phone answering will be limited to inter-office communications. only until proper customer service training has been completed. Assist therapists in patient care and preparation of treatment area. Greet, escort, and slash or transport patient to and from therapy area. Prepare area and slash or equipment for patient treatment. Supervise exercise programs as directed by physical slash or occupational therapist. Stabilize wheelchair for patient's transfer. Bring wheelchair behind patient. Was ambulating, assist group leaders during exercise groups, prepare hot and cold packs. So I have to do outpatient volunteer jobs. I have to do inpatient volunteer job descriptions, you know. Deliver slash stocks, label slash store supplies, form array of clerical slash office slash computer tasks, run errands, escort patients, visitors slash guests around hospital, assist in keeping supplies stocked and essential areas as assigned, assist patients with comfort, needs, and emotional support as assigned, group patients, visitors, and staff to the office slash service area, determines their needs and assist slash directs them accordingly, receives and screens telephone callers, provide information per service area slash hospital policy, and or routes calls to appropriate personnel, demonstrates consistent professional telephone etiquette, notifies volunteer coordinator of changes that may compromise the health and safety of patients, guests, and employees, respond to all codes as appropriate, visit with patients, provide social slash therapeutic interaction with patients slash visitors, which may include but not limited to reading, writing, drawing, communicating, music when and where permitted appropriate. 11, provide other services and duties as requested within scope of ability. May assist staff with other tasks as needed once volunteer gains experience and expresses an interest in learning more. So that's an inpatient volunteer job description. And basically, I have to be a tutor and mentor for children and adults. I have to coach families. And I have to provide I have to be a global parent, which means in schools and outside of schools I have parental duties. Now you fully understand all the reasons, and I mean it this time, all the said reasons, because there's no reason left unsaid. Now you understand all the reasons why I very rarely date, very rarely have sex, permanently single, permanently child-free, permanently pet-free, and permanently living alone. The reasons have been officially laid all out for us to fucking understand and fucking appreciate.